Today's sermon passage is from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Please follow along in your Bibles or in your worship guide. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you have refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord.
So one of you asked last week whether I give my children royalties for the stories that I tell on them and whether they get some, you know, kickback in their allowance or something. So I'm going to start with a story about myself today. It's cheaper that way. But one day before soccer, I'm 10 years old, and my best friend and I got there early, and we look over next door, and there had been this huge construction going on where they were building a new high school right next to our field. So we decided to sneak in. We eventually found the keys to a movable elevator, one of those kind of machines that goes up from like 10 feet to like 30 feet. And we found we could drive it. Now, I'm sure my parents told me that trespassing was illegal, especially on government property. I'm sure they told me that construction equipment was dangerous. But did they ever tell me specifically that driving around a government construction site while moving up and down 10 to 30 feet on a movable elevator with my best friend was a bad idea? No. But I can look back now and say, I am so thankful we didn't kill ourselves. Because now as an adult, I realized just how dangerous that was, just how many different ways that could have gone bad. How many times, I'm 10, I don't think I would end up in jail, but I definitely could have gotten in big trouble. I look back and realize just how foolish such an adventure was. To a 10-year-old boy, it seemed great. This is going to be so fun. It seemed harmless. But now you can see how such foolishness could have seriously ruined our whole lives. Today, as we enter into our study of Proverbs, I want to remind us that the matter of wisdom and foolishness truly is life and death. It is a serious matter. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you guide us today into the way of wisdom? As we heard in that reading, you are crying out to us, pleading with us to return to you, to walk in your paths, to not go that narrow way that everybody else, or that wide way that everybody else is going, but enter through the gate, which is you. And so would you speak to us and call us out of our foolishness today and lead us into the path everlasting, whatever it may take, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in our study so far, we've seen why wisdom is so important. That's where we started. We've seen what it is, the fear of the Lord. And then last week, we talked about how to get it. And remember that phrase, you gotta want it. That there has to be a heart change if we are going to pursue wisdom. In our final overview of the book of Proverbs today, we're going to see what happens if we don't get wisdom, if we don't live in reality. What happens if we remain in our foolishness? The basic answer is, well, we will be a fool. And that might seem harmless enough, but in actuality, it is the most dangerous path anybody could walk. What if I'm not wise? I'm going to start by looking at who is a fool, what is this idea of being a fool, what's the destiny of a fool, and how to flee foolishness. First, as you heard in that reading, there's three different ways that Proverbs describes a fool. So as you're reading through Proverbs, it's not just kind of one blanket statement. So you heard there, wisdom speaks to the simple and calls the simple out of their foolishness, lest they enter into this state of scoffing. And so there's this progression, this downward spiral along this slippery path of foolishness. And the implication of Proverbs is that all of us start out in this simple state. Kids, Bible's talking to you. But it's also talking to all of us. That we start in this state of simplicity where there's almost a naivety. We'll kind of believe everything. It's one of the beautiful things about children, but also is one of the most dangerous things. I got a good friend. She grew up, she raised three boys. And when they were like seven, and she had a five-year-old and a three-year-old, she would just look at them and just be like, if you go in the streets, you're going to die. And I'm like, Kelly, really? She's like, no, I got to speak to them that way. Like, they'll go in the streets. These boys will sprint out of the house and they'll go in the streets. That's simplicity. It wasn't necessarily those boys are less like wanting to die, but they just naivety. That car won't hit me. That's, we live in simplicity. But if we continue in that state, we end up into this place of foolishness. And the fool says in his heart, there is no God. To the point of scoffing, where not only is there no God, I don't even care if there ever was one. Remember, our definition of wisdom is competence or living in regard to reality. Living in accordance with what's real. So the simple person is one who is just unfamiliar with reality. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 14:15 goes on and says it this way. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. And this might not seem really all that bad to be simple. After all, we all have been in a car before where somebody else is driving and we aren't paying attention and we end up at their destination. Some of us have been the person driving and we didn't even realize how we ended up at the destination. And I'm not talking about a driverless car, you know, where you almost just phase out and somehow you're home. I don't even remember the roads I was on. Is it really that bad? But wisdom tells us that being simple is not innocuous. Chapter 14, verse 18 of Proverbs says, the simple inherit folly. So if you know your Bible, we're going all the way back to Genesis, back to this notion of original sin, and that simplicity, unless there is an intervention, you will receive the inheritance of your parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. That folly will be your inheritance, gaining, earning more folly for their simplicity. We all are sliding downward on a way to being a fool if there's not some intervention. Listen to how Proverbs 7 says it. Here, just if you've kind of studying through Proverbs, this is where you start to see this contrast between Lady Wisdom and this seductress who is folly. I'm not going to read that whole section, but you should. Say to wisdom, this is wisdom speaking to you, this is how we all should be saying to wisdom, you're my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, for she will keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house I've looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He doesn't know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. life or death. That's what we're dealing with. This is how wisdom speaks to us. This is not an innocuous issue. To remain in simplicity is not just, it's not going to be that big a deal. You hear reality telling you there's no neutral playing field. Remaining in your simplicity is like a family like choosing summer vacation. We're all going to go on a pleasure cruise to Palestine. Notice that Lady Folly here is a seductress, not some obvious cheap thrill found in some dark alley. She comes to the simple person. She appears religious, she says. Her bed is covered in beautiful luxury. She promises secrecy, ease of access. We'll fill ourselves with love and delight, she says. And Proverbs 14:12 says it this way, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. This is very dangerous territory. It's dangerous to be simple because, as already noted, the simple inherit folly or foolishness. They become fools, and fools become scoffers. In the Psalms we read, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool and scoffer deny and reject reality. Do you see that? That's when we think about if what it is to be wise is to live in reality, the fool just rejects reality. Like, gravity doesn't exist. I can just fly. I walk to the top of, you know, First Union or Wachovia building and just jump right off. Doesn't exist. Do you see how dangerous that is to not live in reality? And the psalm says, ultimately, the greatest reality that we live, that we deny, is God himself. That's where this all starts. Instead, we embrace lies and falsehoods as the essence of what's real. And here I want to speak not just to some of you in the room who are in that simple way, who have not chosen the path of wisdom and aligned yourself with Jesus Christ. This is for you. To understand, to hear how the scripture says what your life is like, the path you're on. But this also is for all of us who have been on that path, because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And as I said in our time of confession, we all have been there. I can, multiple times, so many times this week, I was repenting of this, recognizing that I just lived as if there is no God. I just said in my heart, there's no God. Therefore, I'm not going to forgive. There's no God. This person had better pay me back. Because there is no God. I didn't really say it, but that's how I was living. I'm terrified of the future. There's no God. This anxiety, I'm going to like grab a hold of me. There's no God. And do you see that that is the false reality? You're walking the way of the fool. All of us are in this dangerous place. It's not just a once for all turn. It is a continuous pursuit of wisdom. And we all need this truth day by day by day. So what's the destiny of fool? What happens if we don't change? Hopefully you're already on your edge of your seat, like, get me out of here. I want the way out. But the Bible still goes on. Proverbs still goes on. Where is this path going to take us if there's not an intervention? This point is so critical to understand, because you might be tempted to think, oh, this poor fool. Why didn't someone help him? Why didn't God go and rescue that fool? But wisdom is clear that a fool just receives the path that he or she chooses. You see, as you read the book of the Proverbs, you read through the Bible, you'll hear wisdom crying out over and over and over again, from the street corner, from the pulpit, from the marketplace, from your parents' dinner table, from your social media streams, amazingly. Wisdom actually is crying out everywhere, calling to you at the fool's door, pounding on the door, stay away, come out of that way. Every place that Lady Folly is, there is sister wisdom calling the simple. But the fool and the scoffer turn. The fool won't turn, and the result is they get the life they choose, is how Proverbs describes it. Listen to the end of our reading from Proverbs 1. The eventual result of this journey, this harvest, is the chambers of death, Sheol itself. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They shall have the fill of their own devices. You see, the path of wisdom or the path of foolishness ultimately is eschatological, means it brings us straight to the end of all things. The language there in that passage is that there will be destruction, a perishing, and the result is the fool reaps their own judgment. And that's where you see this really strong language in Proverbs 1, where it talks about wisdom just laughing. You'll call out for help, and you'll only get silence. Brothers and sisters, do not take the mercy of God for granted. There is a time when there will be no longer a chance to turn. You heard that in the New Testament reading. It's eschatological. You're at the judgment seat. Thank God. It's not right now, but it might be. But there in Matthew 7, you heard Jesus saying, I never knew you. And it says, almost you hear such a similar language of wisdom. I came to your door. I knocked on the door. You never opened. I don't know you. And so you're coming as if you're saying you knew me, but I never knew you. You never walked in the way of wisdom, and you will only get the results of your own choices. You see, many of us have this false understanding of how life works and what the Bible teaches about judgment. We can tend to think that Christianity teaches that God is just out there like waiting to catch us. And he's kind of like, you go make your own choices. I'm going to sit back here and finally at the end, I gotcha. I stole this joke from Tim Keller, but he says, we think a godless person, somebody who doesn't, is a fool, who isn't walking with God, will suddenly just be captured by a wrathful God that they never knew. And as God throws them into the abyss, they'll hear God say, like in Latin or something, tough cookies. If you know Tim Keller, you got to hear his voice as he says that. But that's not it at all. You see, we hear in Proverbs that God has been pleading, wisdom has been pleading, has been shouting, please turn from your way, turn from your way, turn from your way. But the fool keeps living in their false reality. They keep saying, there's no God. I'll live without God. There's no consequences of my choices. And the result is in the end, they get the fruit of their ways. They get what their character has deserved. You see, Proverbs teaches that God doesn't like send someone to hell. Rather, that God just lets them go to the final destination of their own chosen path. For the simple one are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Now, there are other theological nuances that we need to talk about. We're not going to talk about it today. When you think about election, if you're familiar with that idea, this notion of reprobation, what that means, of free will and God's sovereignty. But today, as we hear the words of Proverbs, we need to focus on and understand the consequences of our sinful free will. If we don't turn back into reality, we will be destroyed. Here's how C.S. Lewis, a theologian, an apologist, not quite a theologian or Bible teacher, and yet really important voice in the history of Christianity, modern Christianity. There's only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. Without an intervention, you will be left to the consequences of your own choices. So what are we to do? How do we flee foolishness? The first and most vital step is we have to discern our way. We have to open our ears to wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way. The key part of wisdom, where it starts with wisdom, is when you see the path you're on. And you're walking, you look around, you're like, I'm in the middle of Palestine. What am I doing with my children here? This whole place has been destroyed. And any moment it might erupt into war. What am I doing? That's where it starts. That's why I preach the way I do. That's why I would invite you and your families, inviting you to hear. Open your eyes to see where you are. The essence of foolishness is basically mental dishonesty. Fools fundamentally are self-blind. They constantly justify themselves, their actions. It's always someone else's fault. It's always, you know, it's my history. It's their lack of opportunity. It's the context I'm in. It's always something else out there, and we blind ourselves. And this isn't just for those of you who don't know Jesus. We all have the same tendency. We continue to say there is no God because we're just put up blinders to the fact that we're hurting ourselves, our consequences, the consequences of our church choices. We are self-deceived. But a wise person can discern his way. He or she can see where he has come from and knows where his actions will take him. You're able to recognize, if I do this, it's going to ruin my life. That's where it starts. And again, why I just love speaking to this young people. This is what your parents are just hoping that you could get. Because we've all made so many of the bad choices. We've been to college and made those choices. We've pursued that particular relationship. We've went after that job. Maybe not all of us, but and we just found in the end it just led to destruction. And we want to plead with you, please open your eyes. See that there is a way that seems right to you and yet in the end leads to destruction. And choose the way of wisdom. You must be able to discern your way into eternal life and through daily life with reality, or you will never be saved from your foolishness. And that is what must happen. We must all change course. We must be saved from ourselves. And this is what Proverbs 1:23 invites us to do. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit and I will make my words known to you. That almost doesn't even sound like an Old Testament passage. Can you hear Jesus there? Doesn't that just sound like the voice of Christ speaking through? If you'll just turn to my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit. I'll make my words known to you. This is not, God is not out there far away. The Spirit of God is not far away. He's not looking down trying to catch you. He's so close. Just come and turn. And once again, don't you, isn't this so amazing that here we are in Proverbs. We're in the Old Testament. And the key, once again, that we've looked at week after week is turning. It's a life of repentance. It's turning out of that way. It's being able, it's not like I've got to become the most brilliant, most like sincere and understanding theologian that's ever existed. I better go to RTS. I better go get my PhD. I better keep going. I just got to turn. I got to discern my way, recognize I'm walking. This is a foolish path. If I make this choice, it's going to kill me. What do I do? Turn. Okay, Lord, now what? I'll pour out my spirit. Just start listening to me. Keep walking with me. Come with me. Just amazed at how much this reading resonated with things Jesus had to say. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me, all you who are weary. I'll give you rest. He's waiting to show you. Brothers and sisters, all of us can be fools. Either we are committed to our foolishness and we need to turn from it once and for all, or right now we are being tricked and tempted back down the way of foolishness and we need to turn today all over again back into the way of wisdom and the one who is wisdom. I want you to imagine waking every single morning, sitting at your kitchen table in preparation for your day ahead. And at each end of the table sit Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom. That's the way Proverbs kind of sets up the world for you. And Folly looks gorgeous. Easy, smooth, just come on. Come walk this way with me. But you don't know her. She's a stranger. Wisdom? What does Proverbs 1 tell us wisdom looks like? She looks like my sister, my maker, my father, my mother. These are all terms that wisdom takes for herself. My most intimate of friends. Probably not slick, well-dressed, probably not smooth-talking, But I know them, and they know me, and they love me. And so as you think about this, what I want you to realize is it's not a fair fight. If you will open your ears and listen, why would you listen to the stranger, no matter how beautiful she might be, versus your most intimate friend, your mother who you know loves you, your best sister who just cares for you? Wisdom is the most loving, kindest, most familiar voice of your heart. And she's calling you to turn today. Just a moment, we're going to come to this table. This incredible picture of both this text and all of the Bible. As the worship team comes, would you just join me as we pray and have a chance even now to turn back into the way of wisdom? Heavenly Father, for those of us in the room who have known just how destructive the way of foolishness is, we thank you for intervening. We thank you for, despite our failures, despite our mocking, despite our rejection, you never gave up. You poured out your spirit. You called to us over and over again, and you gave us a mind that would want to walk in that way. And so we say thank you. And God, if there's anyone here who has not made that choice, who has not understood and looked and discerned their way, would you give to them that great grace to see the destination that we're heading on, that they're heading on, that they wouldn't wake up in the moment where they see their judgment coming, but instead they would see it now and see their path inevitably bringing them there by their own choices? And would you call them out? Would you deliver them and intervene in their life and heart so that they might call to you and turn and find again the way of wisdom? Be reunited with sister wisdom, with mother, father, the delight, the King of heaven who wants to bring them into life eternal. And for all of us, would you prepare us to walk this path that your communion has set before us, this table that you've given to us, and let us worship you and walk in that grace now. In Jesus' name, amen.